Okay. I think I'm here. I hope everybody can hear me. I will ask my friend who just called or just texted me to let me know if she can hear the call so I can make sure that everybody can hear me okay. So if she's on and can hear me, that would be great. Let's see. Yep, all good. Okay. Thank you. Anyway, I apologize for that. I don't know what was going on, but it would not let me record, and I didn't want to have this conference call. I know there's a lot of people on this call. I didn't want to have it and then not be able to record it. So, glad I got through. All right, let me just, I want to go through a couple of things. I'll probably go fairly quick here because I have a lot of things that I want to try to cover. The very first thing, one of the most important things that I did want to talk to everybody about is the strategy on energy. The energy system, I don't have to tell you, has been going really, really rough. It's been bad for everybody. I don't plan on changing my strategy a lot, but I do think I am going to change my asset allocation model for some energies. So here's what I've been working on. I'll try to make this clear, but here's what I've been looking at. I've been looking primarily about looking at closely at renewables and exporting nat gas and coal and what is happening in Europe in the way of both renewables and renewable biofuels. So I've been doing some investigation in all of that and trying to get a handle on where we are, because the one thing that we have not been hearing a lot about is the kind of progress that has been made or hasn't been made. And based on the numbers that I've been seeing, and I had a chance to talk to an oil analyst, friend of a friend in Denmark last week, who gave me some more update information. And apparently he believes that the northern European nations, that would be the Baltic, Norway, Finland, Denmark, Sweden, there's another one he mentioned, I'm drawing a blank, but anyway, it doesn't matter, that he believes that in about 5 years, just 5 years away, that they are going to be dependent upon very, very little fuel for energy that is not renewable. They have an absolutely amazing infrastructure going on in biofuels. Every bit of food waste that comes out of restaurants and homes now, in most countries, not all, he said, but working on all big cities, but getting it throughout all the countries, has been collected. A lot of you on this call are old enough to remember, or maybe it never happened, but when I was a kid growing up, we had trash collection. We burnt a lot of our trash, but we had trash collection, and we had a garbage truck. And the garbage truck would come up the street twice a week and pick up just garbage. Well, this is coming back over in Northern Europe, and it is being used for biofuel. And he says they're having an amazing impact on the renewable energy sector. Apparently, I talked to the manufacturer of a company that is on my list also a couple of weeks ago. They're the number one manufacturing of wind energy generation systems and all of that. They happen to be out of Denmark as well. And But all the most of the windmills we see here in the United States are this make, and they said their growth in manufacturing, their demand is more than they can keep up with. Frankly, they don't have the facilities to manufacture as fast as they like to, and they're losing market share to other companies, including an American company. And, you know, it's been a problem for them, but we weren't talking about that. I didn't care much about that. I was talking to them about the renewable energy side of things. I don't have to tell you, I had a great chance. I don't know if any of you did see the preview of the auto show this year here in America. Unbelievable what has happened. So Volkswagen now has a car that will go 377 miles on battery. And so it's grown. Almost everybody is at least 300 miles. I remember when it was 100 miles on battery. So that technology is changing very rapidly. By 2020, all the major manufacturers in the car show this year are releasing their prototype, their model for 2020 electric cars and trucks. And it is pretty amazing. All the major manufacturers coming out is as cheap as inexpensive as high 20s, on average, $44,000 for electrical vehicle. As you know, every year that's going to get cheaper and cheaper, more efficient, more effective. So in light of all of that and what is happening around the globe and what is happening here in America, so we drove, my wife and I drove last week from Oklahoma City to Amarillo, Texas. I don't have to tell you what the landscape looked like. If you've ever been there, you know. It's just, you know, almost to the point of being ruined by windmills, but they have windmill farms all over in huge numbers. So having said all that, I am concerned about two things. I think organic demand for oil is going to continue to diminish over the next 15 years. We always knew that was going to happen, but my numbers were 30 years. 30 to 40 years of countries are going to be running on the back of fossil fuel. That looks like it is changed dramatically. It's probably more like 10 or under. That's going to have a dramatic impact on what is happening with fossil fuel and demand. Not to mention, we are seeing factories now, those factories that are being rebuilt and growing, even in places like India and Africa, where they have an abundance of sunshine, is all starting to convert over or new construction into solar. They're not using wind quite as much in other forms. What I'm getting at is there's going to be continued a global demand on fossil fuel. I know that's hard for some of you, and it's hard for me. I have a lot of friends in the oil industry. Now, don't get me wrong. Our oil stocks are fine. It's going to be a long, long time before we really dramatically start to see an impact. There's no doubt about it. But we still have to be mindful of it, looking into the future, and try to be on the curve of some of the other technologies that are coming out for our energy sector and not be all wrapped up. Apparently, some new developments coming out from a cost perspective on liquefied natural gas, and they're struggling with cheaper technologies used in shipping natural gas, and that has slowed down the retrofit and the production of ships in natural gas. So that could be an issue as well. So we've got all of that in the energy sector that I am a little bit concerned about. Here's what I believe is going to happen in the short term. And in the short term, I'm talking about two to 4 years, we'll say, from now to the next 4 years. I would say that all of our stocks that we have in the energy sector, I feel very good about, and I do believe they're going to recover, and I do believe they're going to become profitable. Now, this could happen in 2 to 4 months if we see some kind of interruption in the flow of oil, even in a low demand situation. It could dramatically change. I'm looking way out. I'm out 10, 15 years. But I want you to do and be very, very conscious of. The problem with some of these energy companies, and I mean a problem, it's a good problem, but the problem with some of these energy companies is they're paying pretty good dividends, and a lot of you don't want to part with those that are, income portfolios. It's okay. I'm not asking you to part with them. But what I'm reminding you of is to really try to stay conscious to the diversification model. So between electric vehicles and renewable energies, the whole notion of reinventing new and better renewable energies, exporting bios and all these different things, we are going to probably continue to see demand, and I would submit that demand, forget this year, it's irrelevant because of the trade war, but when we get back on course again, I think that demand is going to be in a steadily dropping lower or leveling off, but it's probably going to get to the point wherever it is right now without trade issues, is probably where it's going to stay for a fairly long time. So all I am asking is that you're very conscious of not getting too heavily weighted in energy. Some of you already are. And I want you to make a very, very conscious effort over the next 2 years to be getting back within the model, within the asset allocation model of energy and staying there. Please. I had a chance to talk to some people at the Waco town hall meeting, the Amarillo town hall meeting. And one of the things I was asking questions about, how are you doing on your diversification model? Tell me about it. Are you really well diversified? And I have done a lot of that through email with some groups that I've been emailing with. And those with that asset allocation model that's per our website are doing better than those that aren't. And so I want you, my other question is, I wanted to give you that, the other issue I wanted to talk to you about was I wanted to give you some overview of what I'm thinking about the energy sector and where it's going. All that research that I've been doing over the last month and a half, I'm going to continue to do. I'm going to do a little bit more conscious, a little bit more effort. I've made some great contacts from friends of friends in the northern part of Europe. I have asked them if we could maintain our contact, if they'd be willing to give me some updates from time to time and let me know if anything new is happening. So I'll keep you informed about that. So the goal here coming out of this meeting is that you are going to not cut back on your energy, but just try to keep it within the asset allocation model and stay there. If the asset allocation model changes, either by going up or coming down, make sure that you don't have a sense of urgency about getting it, but that you are aware of it and you make an effort to get there for whatever it is. Okay. Now, the other thing that could turn all that upside down or make this happen a little bit faster, and that is bringing us back into some level of profitability is critically important that we understand about the international and the trade issues and the Hong Kong issues with China. And we've got to make sure that we are well aware of that and understand what is going on there. That could change everything. If we don't get a trade deal with China, I think if we don't get a trade deal with China, it's going to get ugly. What I mean by ugly, I think it's going to get ugly for China. And we could see demand in oil fall. We could see an interruption in the flow of oil coming out of Syria, not coming out of Syria, but the interruption being caused by Syria forces and Iranian forces together in an effort to drive prices up. By the way, that will work. It will drive prices up. So stock prices could come up sooner than we think if something like that were to happen. So all of that could change in a minute. I kind of alluded to this morning. I don't know if you heard the whole program, but I mentioned this. I'm not sure why. I forget why. It was in response to a question somebody asked. So you've heard me talk about institutional money that I manage. And manage is probably an understatement because I don't do a lot of management. I have certain strategies that I start with and add to portfolios that have been established since 1998. Well, one of them, anyway, has been 1998, and one of them about 2004. Now, the one strategy has 66 positions in it, and the other strategy, sorry about that, I can't do anything about it, that ring. The other strategy has 33 positions in it. They are probably some of the two of them, each one of them are probably some of the best performing funds, if they were a fund, in the country. And I've been offered to sell them, which I'm not going to do, or at least I don't think I am. I don't have any plans on that. But nonetheless, I wanted to bring that up because I was looking at it yesterday, and my one with the larger positions has several mutual funds inside it, most of what's in their stocks. But they both have very big positions in energy. When I say very big positions, I'm gonna tell you one has about 8 energy positions, the other one has 6. So compared to some of my other sectors, it's a fair amount. I say that because you all know the energy sector has gotten beaten up pretty severely. My one that has 66 positions is up 39% year to date. I'm sorry, 29% year to date. 29% year to date. My one that has 33 positions is up 35% or just below 35%. And as I said, both of them have large positions in energy. Do you think my large positions in energy are doing good this year? No, they're getting clobbered just like they are in your portfolio. The reason I bring this point up is because of the diversification. And let me just throw this in there. My 33 position portfolio is the only one I have a position in cash. So I actually have a position in cash in that too. So between the energy and the cash, you might as well, the cash isn't earning anything and the energy is getting killed. And I'm still up. It's only because of diversification. Now, suppose I didn't have that energy. Suppose I had a lot more of the drivers of that, the things that are really up a lot. I'd be up probably a lot more. I'd probably be setting records. But it's hard to say that is true because when the market was down 500 points, I might have gotten beat up really bad because I would not have had the protection on the downside. And sometimes protection on the downside is nothing more than diversification. So I'm only saying this to try to drive home. I have some notes that I wrote down this morning about this conference call, and one of them is to beg. This is what it says. Beg for diversification. That's what I have. That's my bulletproof. That's what it says. So I'm begging all of you. It doesn't matter to me. It's not going to hurt me. I'm not losing anything. It doesn't matter to me. But I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for God's people, God's children. And I want your money to grow because I want the kingdom to grow. I am confident, maybe not everybody, but the vast majority of you are going to give more if you have more, and that's a good thing. So I'm begging you to not – somebody called me today and said, well, he's 15% in REITs, and he wants to add more because he's addicted to REITs. And I said, well, addictions have consequence. I didn't say that like that, but I said you can get burnt with addictions because they usually come back to haunt you. And they will in his portfolio. We have to stick to a reasonable if you are 3 to 4%, maybe even 5% over what is called for, it's not the end of the world. It's okay. Wait till the next quarter, let's see what happens, and then maybe think about rebalancing. But you cannot be 10% over. You can't be 10% over. You can't be 8% over. You can't, because remember, if you're 8%, you're going to get to 10 if the market's going up. You can't do it. You can do it if you want. I know you're going to say, and there's going to be people that are going to tell me, remember that conference call I'm talking about a couple of years from now? Well, I didn't listen to you, and I'm over. Man, have I done well. That's okay. That's good. That's good. But wait until another 2008 comes along. Why would we, after we've come this far, to be first and foremost biblically responsible, and then come this far to be to learn and to understand and to follow certain models, and then decide to leave the reservation? Why would you do that? And I know why you would do it. There's only one reason you would do it, and that's because you're feeling overly confident and a little bit greedy, to be honest with you. And it's not going to work. It's going to work for a while, but it's not going to work consistently. So I'm asking you to make sure that you check your diversification and stay that way. I want to move on, but I want to give you another reason. I have never seen anything like this. This morning, I was around 5 or 4, you know, sometime between 5 and 5:30 this morning, Eastern time. I called a friend of mine. I knew he was up. He always is. He's like me. And we had a great conversation. This friend is 84 years old. He's as active in his management now that he was when he was 44. And he's one of the smartest guys I know. And we were talking about the future. And I wanted to bounce some things off of him. And he said the same thing. Now, he's 84. He said he has never seen anything like this. As far as uncertainty and economic conditions that are hanging on uncertainty. They're not hanging on poor fundamentals or good fundamentals. They're hanging on uncertainty. And he said something that I didn't really think about or didn't pay any attention to. He said, we probably have some of the best fundamentals of the economy that we've had since late 1960s, mid to late 1960s. And in the midst of the best fundamentals in the economy that America could want, it can all go down based on an uncertainty that is totally unrelated to the financial systems. And he said, Dan, I just want to put a little check in your spirit, a little bit of a check in your analytics, that you don't get too carried away on the fundamentals of the economy. You're absolutely right in what you say and what you've written to me about the fundamentals of the economy. But you need to keep in focus that we, all of those great fundamentals are hanging on a very, very thin thread. And he said, if it breaks, if they come tumbling down, if the markets come tumbling down, it's not because the fundamentals went bad. And he said, that is going to be one of the most frustrating things you're ever going to live through again. Because when that happens, you look at it and you say, well, this doesn't have to happen, and it didn't have to happen. I say that to you because it adds another level of importance of diversification. And it also is a reminder that anything could change. Now I want to talk about something else that I've been hearing a lot about. So I'm getting 200-300 emails a day. I get 14 or 1500, but I'm getting 200 or 300 a day that are talking about all the conspiracy theories that are out there, all the things that are coming out about the deep state, all the things that are coming out about the next economic crash, about the next political crash, about the next depression, about the collapse of the dollar. These are the very same things, a lot of them by the same writers, that came out in 2009 and 10, that came out in 1999 through 2001. These are the things that came out in 1982 and 84. These are the things that came out in 1978 and in 1972. These are the things that came, I mean, on and on it goes, exact same things. And guess what? None of them have ever happened. I'll tell you what has happened and what continues to happen today. I would love to mention some names, but I'm not going to. But there are people. Let me tell you about gold, because part of the theory here is the whole gold thing. 12 years ago, do you know who Goldline is? You've seen them, Goldline. They sell gold. They came to me and they offered me $825,000 for me to endorse them. It's a lot of money. I bring that up, and I said to them, guys, I've been bashing you for 12, 13 years on the radio. Number one, everybody listens to me would know I sold out. And number two, I don't believe in it. They wanted to do it because they wanted my audience, not me. They didn't care about me. They wanted to get to my audience. And they were going to give me $825,000. Now, let me just remind you of something, because this is what I want to, the point I'm trying to make, and that's why I told you about the 825, and I've never told anybody that before. I'm a nobody. And if I'm a nobody now, I was really a nobody 10, 12, 15 years ago. They were giving, listen, they were giving me $825,000 to a nobody to get to my audience. Can you only imagine what they're giving to somebody's? Think about it. That was 12 years ago. I'm a nobody. Think about what they're giving somebody today that is somebody. Somebody with say my audience is 1 million people, somebody with an audience of 20 million people. Think about it. I know you don't like to think about people that you like, admire, respect, or make a great case for something that are very articulate. But let me tell you, I wish some of the amounts of money that they're getting just from scaring people and getting people to go to gold is astronomical. Some of the amounts of money they're making from selling books, newsletter, subscriptions, I don't know, what else can you sell? Or anything, something to buy. It's astronomical. And you need to understand that some of the nicest people, greatest people, they might all be good, are using terms like deep state. You think they used deep state 5 years ago? Never used it. Didn't know what it was. Now, it's pretty much an acceptable phrase and a reality that we have a deep state. So that's what they're using now. That's the big part of this. I never would say never, and I would never say that something. I have a good friend of mine who came back. He was out of town. He came back, and I asked him. I said, I was trying to call you. He said, well, I was in a meeting. I went to a person's meeting about, you know, the economy and all that stuff. And he said, man, I'm telling you, it's really scary. You know, all this stuff, I don't know, you know, I don't know how you stay calm. And I said, let me tell you, and I happen to know this person. He's from New Jersey, and I've known him a long time. We used to ride the train together in New York City. He's maybe a year or two younger than me, or a year or two older than me. We're about the same age. And I said, let me tell you something. He's been making $3 or $4 million a year on saying the same thing for 20 years. 20 years he's been saying it. Now, someday, and he knows this, he's going to be right. And when he's right, he'll make $10 million a year. He's been saying the same thing. As a matter of fact, this guy's written 4 books, and I have all 4 of them, and all 4 of them are identical. They're rewritten. I mean, they're tweaked and they're changed, and they new titles, new cover, new look, same book. Same book. Scaring people with the same tactics. Selling books. Now he's selling software. Same deal. Look, I can't speak for all of his audience, but I can speak for all of my audience, most of them anyway. We rely upon a sovereign God, a sovereign God. We lean upon a solid rock. And even in the midst of losing everything, we still have a sovereign God and a cornerstone of Christ that we can stand upon. Still, even after we lose everything. And if we're fortunate enough to not have to live through it and get called home, or better yet, the Lord returns, then it's going to be a lot more irrelevant than it really is. And maybe I'm being selfish in trying to stop the emails. But listen, you've got only 2 choices. There's 2 options. So it's really easy to pick, because you got a 50-50 chance of being right. You can take the way of fear. But I want to remind you, if you do, don't go the way of fear and getting drawn in by all the conspiracy theories, unless you come to the realization of why you're afraid. And in case you don't know what that is, let me tell you what it is. You're afraid of losing what moths will eat and what rust will decay. Your fear of losing money. That's what you're worried about. Now you're going to say, no, that's not, I got this. I'm telling you. So you can go down that road, and I've worked hard, and I've amassed. You know what? I've worked hard all my life too, but you know what? Someday I'm going to be in glory kicking up gold dust, and I'm not going to care a lick about how hard I worked on this life. So you can take that fear and get all caught up in that. You can sell everything. You can put it in a safe. You can buy gold and fill your gun safe up that's up to the ceiling with gold. And you can do all those things. And you can get off the grid. And you can hunker down. And you can, you know, you can save. And you can worry. And you can hoard it all and say, I'm okay because I just built a bigger silo. And now I can fit more of all of this stuff in my silo, and I'm not worried about let it happen. And you'll be fine for the rest of your life, and you won't be worried about anything. You'll be able to sleep at night. You know everything's good and safe. You won't have to worry. You won't be making any money. You won't have any dividends, but you got all that money. You're going to live off it a little bit and be okay. Or you can live your life fighting for Jesus, investing your money, saving some of your money, using it for the cause of Christ. Keep working, not worry. If I lose some, I lose some. I'm going to gain some. When I gain, I'm going to lose. When I lose, it's all okay. Everything's fine. I'm not going to worry about that. Why? Because I got other things to worry about. I got an orphanage over here I can worry about. I got an abortion clinic over there I should be worried about. I got other things I could be worried about. I'm not going to worry about my money. God has blessed me with it. I'm doing the right thing, and I'm not going to get caught up in all those conspiracy theories. Now, there are your two choices. You can decide which one you want to do. If you do that second choice where you're not going to worry, that's great. If you're going to do the other choice where you're going to worry, that's fine too. And just go ahead and worry and read all that and catch every blog and read every book. And by the way, all the books make so much sense. I tell you, I can make just as much sense out of the total opposite that they're saying, and I could make just as much fear about that as well. But you need to understand, and I know they draw from things that they say are all lining up to do this. They're wrong. They're wrong. They're just wrong. They sound good. They sound right. But you cannot look at the things that are going to make your case for the sky is falling without looking at the things that are going to say, yeah, but it isn't very likely that the sky is going to fall because this, this, and this aren't even in the equation, and they need to be. You can't just do it one way, and I would say the same to you that aren't going to worry about that stuff. You've got to look at the whole picture and the broader picture. But please don't go through your life being in fear. Diversify your money. Have some cash. We're going to have downturns. You know, we're going to have another recession. If I knew when, I'd be the first one to tell you. I don't know when. A lot of other people think they know when. We have a rule in economics. If you say it long enough, you'll be right. It's so true. If you say something long enough from the economy, the finance, you're going to be right. But what I'm thinking about is the severity of the right. So of how right you're going to be. So if they're all right and it happens tomorrow, let me tell you, they're going to be standing in front of you in the same soup line. They're going to be standing in front of you in the same soup line. Whatever they told you you need to do is fine, but it is not going to save you from the heartache, from the confusion, from the concern, from the darkness. It's not going to save you from any of that. The only thing that you can say is, yeah, I knew it was coming. Put all my stuff in gold and in the safe. And you'll be able to tell people like that, tell people about that as you're standing in the soup line. Look, I'm a premillennial guy. So when it really gets bad, I don't plan on being here. Now, I may be wrong. There's the mid-trib, the pre-trib, and the whole tribulation. I get that. Understand that. I'm a pre-tribber. I'm not planning on being here. That's just me, though. It doesn't mean that you're wrong if you're a mid-tribber or whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you. So I don't plan on being here. So it's easy for me to say that when we get to end times in Armageddon, I'm not going to be here, because I believe God is going to remove us from that. His church is going to be lifted. But even if that's not the case, you're worrying about something that no matter how well you prepare, you're not going to change it. It ain't going away. You're not going to fix it. You're not going to make it better. You're not going to make it easier on yourself. You might for a week, maybe. Now, if you're listening to me from North Dakota, and you're living on 7,000 acres, you probably won't even know the worst has happened. God love you. I wish I was with you. But that's a whole different situation. I remember my father telling me about the farmers in the middle of the state. They didn't even know, they barely knew there was a depression. So, you know, if you're going to live your life out on the farm and you're not going to care much about what the world, nothing that happens is going to, you got a windmill for your electricity, you got solar panels, you got a well, you got everything you need in life, and then you have a really great spot, and you can really not worry. But I just don't want you to go through and get sucked in, and more importantly, I don't want you spending money on all of these conspiracy theories and get caught up in it. These conspiracy theories are great for ratings. Oh man, if you're on TV or radio, or you're a writer, that blogger or a podcaster that everybody's watching, man, it's great for all that. It's great for that because people love it, man. They get sucked. Don't think they don't know that either. Just don't think. Watch a pattern. Watch a pattern that they go through. When things start getting rough, when the ratings start dropping, when, maybe they're losing some sponsors or people are moving on because they're tired of them, wait and see how fast they come back to the conspiracy theory. Watch the patterns. The greatest sales tactic in the world is to disturb somebody as much as you can disturb them and then offer them a solution. It's been going on since the beginning of time. And they will always sell things to people they just disturbed. So if I could scare you all and then I could tell you your only solution is to be a partner with Financial Issues. And I guarantee you by the time it's done with you, you'd be a partner of Financial Issues. We need to just have some good old common sense and really just some insights. So I just want to mention that to you. Because if you haven't run across all the conspiracy theories that aren't new but may seem new to you, you will. And I believe we are living in a time where they are going to get more rampant than ever. I think this is going to make, I remember Y2K, 1999 was about one of the worst years I can remember, but for all this. But I guarantee you, that you'll hear about them if you haven't. There's no doubt about it. But I can tell you, scammers are getting more abundant than ever. Conspiracy theories are getting more deeper, more detailed, all of that. Could I, if you want to worry like I do about waking up one morning and the bank says you don't have any money in your account, if you don't worry about that, you can. I worry about that. That's why I print my statements every day. I mean, it's annoying, you know, and I kick myself the day I forget because I think, great, this will be the day. Look, the next war that we fight is probably going to be with China, and there's not going to be a one shot fired. It's going to be all these kinds of things. But you also have to remember that when that happens, do you understand without a banking system, nothing operates, right? Nothing operates, nothing. The only thing that's going to be operational is chaos. Nothing operates. So what are you going to do to protect yourself against nothing operates? I make a joke. All your gold in the world is not going to be worth as much as my jar of peanut butter. So do you want to have some non-perishable goods stored away? Sure, that would be a great thing to do. That would be wise, just like you would for a hurricane that you might prepare. You might have some food set aside. You might have a generator. You might have some fuel. You might have some different things. It's not going to last forever, but it may carry you through a little bit of a hump or some important times. But I don't want you to give up your life savings and put it into something that is going to do nothing but hurt you and hurt the kingdom. Because regardless of what you think and want to think, the darkness of this world knows all too well that the great kingdom work of Jesus is not going to be able to survive without money. Boy, if he can take that away from you, he's going to do it. Because all of us that are in ministry, we're not going to be, listen, if all our money dried up, you wouldn't get a warning. I just wouldn't be around anymore. I wouldn't be on the air. I wouldn't be anywhere. Right? So you're not going to have your church door is going to be locked this Sunday when you go to church without any money. It's not going to be a matter. It's not going to, nothing's going to happen. Nothing can happen with that. So don't think that the darkness of this world, is not trying to attack that. And the more fear gets built up about our money, the harder we squeeze tight to it, and the less we're going to be giving. And I'm not talking about financial issues. There's too many other things better than our ministry that you can give to. We're not going to survive, but I don't care. If I don't survive and Preborn does and India Partner survives, then I'm happy. So I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about your church. Some of you have church that are seeing lives being saved every week, people coming to Christ. You better make sure that door stays open, and you're not going to do it without any money. So please, I'm asking you as a favor because it upsets me. Don't send me the conspiracy theory stuff. Trust me, there is a very little that you could possibly send me that I haven't heard in probably greater detail. Remember, it's very intentional that I don't talk about this stuff on the air. But I know about it. You're going to have to trust me on that. You don't need to send it to me. You can if you want. I mean, I'm not going to, but I'm not getting to a lot of it. But most of what I get, not most of, so far, just about everything I get, I know about, I've heard about it. I'm not going to talk about it, and I'm never going to address it. Because that's the other thing people do. You need to talk about this. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about it. So now when I hang up the call, I will repent and ask God for discernment about not talking about it because I struggle with it. But remember that the more I talk about it, the more self-serving it sounds. And if it sounds self-serving, it doesn't have any credibility. So a lot of people aren't going to believe it anyway. Or is that my excuse for not sounding ringing the gong on it? I don't know, but I need to pray about that. So anyway, I just, I apologize for this rant and the details, but my main thing is here that selfishly I want to cut back on some of those emails, and I also want you guys to be aware. I want you to think clearly through all of these conspiracy theories. There is always a hook. I can think of two off the top of my head that are so good at it, it really is hard to see the hook. But there's a hook. There's a hook. Sometimes the hook is only ratings, popularity. And with ratings and popularity, what do you think the hook is? If you said money, you're right. Because the higher my ratings go, the more I can get somebody to come alongside me with some money. You know, I can call, Kentucky Fried Chicken and say, hey, you know, for $10,000, you can run an ad on. Look at all the activity we're getting. Don't think there's not money. It's always the bottom line, unfortunately, with everybody. Diversification is key. I'm begging you, please get diversified. Please think about it. Don't just, you know, I tell people all the time, you're starting to get investing, put a little money in one sector next month, a little money in a, because even no matter how much it is, even if it's $50 a month, I want it to be diversified, $20 a month. I want it to be across every sector at some point in time. Faster you get there, the sooner, the better it's going to be. I am putting together probably an alert, an email or something, and I'm going to send everybody that is going to outline some of the things that could happen that I want you to be aware of, and I want you to know that I'm looking at it. But let me just tell you, I'm putting it together from I'm not going to do an email. I'm not going to draft it up and put it in a way with a big donate button at the bottom. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to send you the list. And tell you what we need to be praying about, what we need to be thinking about as we go on through the next couple of years. There are so many things out there, so many of the uncertainties that if they ever become a certainty, we're going to be in big trouble. I know the global economy is going to be in big, big trouble if we don't get a U.S.-China trade deal very soon. If we don't get that, it's going to be in big trouble. China's going to be in trouble. The rest of the world's going to be in trouble. And let me tell you, the only way, and if a prolonged China's economy's falling, the only thing they can do is go to war. They're going to have to go to war. They're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something to generate, to keep from the revolt from happening. It's the only thing that's going to help it. And I'll tell you something else. We better have one strong president. If that happens, or when that happens. Russia's in bankruptcy. They're only hanging on by the other rogue nations that support them or help them or take some of their products, do something. I read in the Wall Street Journal on Monday how Russia's economy is at a recession and thriving, and all I could think about was that poor reporter that did zero research in writing that article, because it ain't even close. They need $195 a barrel oil just to break even. I don't have to tell you, they're at $60. They're borrowing money every day from Saudi Arabia to survive. They don't have a good economy. What are they going to do? You can go to war. That'll help. We've got a lot of things like that we've got to be concerned about. Those uncertainties. North Korea is pushing the button away from starting a nuclear holocaust. It's just a matter of time before they drop a nuclear weapon on Tokyo. That could happen any moment. Remember, these rogue regimes live in a bubble. They believe the same insane people around them. Oh, it's not going to matter. We'll be fine. We'll be all right. We'll control the world. They don't do those things because they think they can win something. They do it because they know they're going to win. That's what they think in their mind. They know they're going to win. This is a no-lose situation. Those things could happen. U.S.-China trade, we don't get, If we allow, and we do have the ability to not allow that, if we let Europe go into recession, deep recession, all their countries, Germany probably the end of this quarter, and then the other countries to follow, that is going to hurt America. And we've got to start thinking about that, factoring that in now. And another reason for the diversification and the large cash position that I continue to be criticized for on the asset allocation models. All right, so I'm going to ask you to just maybe go back and review this, hear some of this. You don't have to believe it. You can still listen, but make one of those choices. Make one of those choices. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to stick with my plan. I'm going to stick with my strategy. I'm going to get out of debt, because that's the other thing that can save you. That's far better than your goal. Get out of debt. Work to get your mortgage paid. Before, I talked to a woman, 72 years old, widow for 4 years. She's trying to do a reverse mortgage. She can't do a reverse mortgage because she's got a mortgage on her house. So, you know, she's not going to get any equity out of it, so it's not going to help her any. I mean, it's going to help her very little, but even that's not, you know, it's. I mean, you got to work now to try to make sure that we don't have any debt. So they're the kinds of things that can help your family and help you. My buy list has been very scarce. I apologize, but not really. For your own good, I am watching things very closely. I've been adding things here and there, taking some things off here and there. Everything that's on there, by the way, deserves to be on there still. It's absolutely amazing to me, but it does. Some of them came off. Some of them will come off. A couple new things added. I think the things that get added from here on in are going to be much greater opportunities than the things that I added on, say, 3 or 4 months ago, or that are even on there now, just because of the environment that we live in. So hang in there. I'm doing a lot of analytical work. Certainly remember that in January we'll have our 20 for 20. Oh, no, we're not. What am I, crazy? We're going to have our 10 for 20. We don't do 20. So we'll do 10 for 20, and then we'll do, it depends, 2021, we'll probably do 1 plus. So we'll do 1 plus 2. So we call it 1 plus 2. That's what I did last time. So we'll do 1 plus 2. And then in 2022, we'll probably do 2 plus 2. So there's only going to be 4. But right now, remember, January, we'll have our 10 for 20. I already have 4 of them pretty well solidified. Anyway, you know what? I ask you to do me one favor, a couple favors. One thing is to tell your friends about the ministry. Tell everybody, says to me, would you please talk to this president? Will you get involved? Will you send him an email and tell him, call him. Why don't you call this guy? Please, would you be on this station? Call the radio station. Say, why am I not on? Can you get your second hour or third hour? Call the radio station. I'm telling you, they'll add it. Enough people call them, they're going to add it. It's just what they do. If there's, you know, I know that there were a group of people that stood up. I remember this. That talked to CBN to get me on 700 Club. They were mad because I remember one time saying, you have to understand, and I won't tell you why, but I said, I'm never, ever going to be on 700 Club. You need to understand that's never going to happen. And I won't say the reasons why, but I knew I was never, didn't matter. Enough people asked, I ended up on 700 Club. And guess what? CBN has me on every week. But they don't have me on every week. They ask me every week to come on. I was on earlier this week. I'll be on again tomorrow, every week. So because enough people got up, I don't care if I'm ever on. You know, I had to tell my people that are mad at me because I won't go on Fox Business. And so I turned them down 4 times in a row. This was, I'm going back a few months. And they say, you know, they're never going to call you again. I said, I don't care. If I cared, I wouldn't have turned them down. I got things to do. I'm too busy to go on Fox. I'm not going to drop everything I do to go on Fox and CNBC or Bloomberg. They're the three that. So I'm not dropping everything I do for them. Our ministry gets nothing out of that. We don't even have viewers there. I mean, I know we do, but it doesn't mean anything to us. Oh yeah, but you get credibility. I don't want credibility. I tell them all the time, save it for the young guys. There's a lot of young guys that you handle. Give it to them. Send them out there. They're trying to make a name for themselves. I don't care. But CBN, TBN, the Christian networks, well, they're the people that will gravitate to me. They'll use our ministry. They'll learn about our ministry. Some of them, not all of them, obviously, but some of them. It's all good stuff. But you don't ask me for things. Ask the people that you want me to do things for to ask me, and that's the best way to make it happen. So I'll just say that. The favor I wanted to ask you is tell people about the ministry. Tell people about the ministry. We have more and more organic growth than we've ever had before. And I got to tell you something. Take a look at our lineup. We just added another 12 TV stations. So take a look at the log and see where we are. We're probably on TV, on regular channels, wherever you live. I mean, we're on, was 87. And we just added. So, we're getting close to 100 TV outlets. And so we keep getting radio stations are getting added every single month. So tell your friends, find me. You can go to the website. You can go to the phone app. But that is really a blessing to us and a huge benefit. And further, I would ask you to pray. Pray for me. Pray for the ministry. Pray for the work that we're doing. Man, you're going to know soon, but we're doing so many things. We're doing so many things. And I just want, if somebody asks you about the ministry, you let them know that our goal in this ministry, and make sure you say it like this, our goal in the ministry is to expose Jesus for who he is, what he means, and what he can do. That's it. Doesn't get any more complicated than that. That's our goal. Our goal is to expose Jesus in everything that we do, and it will always be that. And have you noticed that there's some sort of God movement going through the country? And what I mean by that is, do you notice how many people will never say the words Jesus Christ anymore? My Lord, God, and that's all good. We all do that. I do that when I pray. But, it's getting to be taboo to say Jesus. Not in our ministry. It ain't going to be taboo. Here's what I would tell you. How about our worship songs? If an Orthodox Jew, which I love the Jewish people, I have nothing against Jewish people, but if an Orthodox Jew can sing the worship song that you heard on Sunday, think about it. Think about that. Jesus never in it once. The Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior. There's just something going on. We all know what it is, but it's not going on in our ministry. Hang in there with us. Continue to pray for us. We appreciate all of you so much. And I thank you for all that you do for us. It is a blessing. I pray that all of you have an incredible Thanksgiving. I hope that you'll get to India Partners this Thanksgiving like we're going to do. But I sure do appreciate all of you. And just pray for your families. I pray over our partners in a kind of an odd way every single morning during my time. And I just continue to do that. But I pray that this Thanksgiving will be nothing but the recognition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I pray that you all, like we do, have some non-believers that are going to be sitting around the table with us. So I have a moment and you'll have a moment to express the importance of Jesus Christ in their life. And I hope you have an opportunity to do that. I hope God anoints you in a way that you'll desire to do that. And we'll do that. And we'll pray for each other and we'll stay strong. But I hope you have an opportunity to share Christ this Thanksgiving as we give thanks for all that we have. All right, have a great day. I sure appreciate it. Make sure you remind anybody you know who's not a partner, listen to this. Make sure you remind them about the strategy to be diversified as much as you can, and you keep that mindful. And we'll talk to you again soon. I'll see you tomorrow for Rapid Friday. God bless.